soul to soul, spirit to spirit. Blessings from Guardian Mountain. And they shall be taught of God. We are all students of this one divine consciousness. I am a student. You are a student. And we are to be taught from the one infinite God consciousness. And so let us be still for a moment and be receptive to that one still small voice within us all. What is it we are seeking? Are we still seeking an improved humanhood? That's all right in the beginning of our journey. But we should be at the place now where we are seeking only the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness, and not worrying about the added things. I know that some of us have been on this path for years and years, and in the beginning it is perfectly fine, and most of us come to this search looking for a solution to our outer problems. And we read the books on truth, and we attend the lectures, and we spend time in meditation, and we call practitioners so that we may have a healing in the area of our relationships, or improve our finances, perhaps double our income, or improve our health. And that's perfectly fine. And so we have an experience, we have a healing. Something happens, and harmony is revealed in our own experience. And that causes us to say within ourselves, hey, I have found something that works. And so we spend many years searching to discover what these principles are that work for us. And we may witness over the years many fantastic healings to the point where we know without a doubt, without any doubt, that this is the way that blessings do flow, and that we want to follow it to its end. Now, after many years, something changes, and we're not quite sure what that is or how it happened, but we find that the meditations that we have, the principles that we practice, they no longer seem to work. What we did before, we do now, and there seems to be little lasting result. And so we're at a quandary about this. Of course, we look within and we say, what am I not doing that I was doing? Or what am I doing differently? Or perhaps I've forgotten something. But none of that is true. We are, in fact, doing exactly what we did before. But Spirit is telling us that it's time to be transformed. It's time to make a transition from a person that is practicing these principles to change our human lives to a person who is really, really ready to be the living Christ. Now, we may have had wonderful meditations where that Christ presence moves through us, and in a moment you think not, I am come. And we may have had that experience known as hearing the still small voice. And perhaps we have meditated long and hard and learned how to be still and know that I am God. Yet we still seem to be human. We still seem to be having the vacillating experience of sometimes a good life and sometimes a bad life. Something more is needed. There's a piece we're missing. What am I missing? We need to really look at this, because it's time in the history of creation for the prodigal to come home. It's time to wear that robe and receive that ring and live again as the Son of God. Could it be that we have never really learned how to be born again of the Spirit? Jesus told us, except the man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And he goes on to tell us a little bit about what it is like being born of the Spirit. What is someone like when the Spirit is within them? He says, the wind blows where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. And this really bears meditating on. What does that mean? if I am no longer seeking solutions to my problems and a better human life, if I am really ready to step into the kingdom, then I have to live in, by, and as Spirit. And he says that Spirit, we do not know where it comes from. We know when it's upon us, but we do not know where it goes. So we need to ask ourselves, what do these things mean? What does it mean to raise up the Son of God within us? And let's look at another little piece here before we go on. He says also that no man has ascended up to heaven but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And so there's something he's telling us to do within our being, something we're supposed to accomplish, this lifting up, this being born of the Spirit. Now, Joel puts it in a little plainer language. And he says, there are very few persons in all the world who are really interested in living spiritually or in attaining the spiritual goal. And certainly there are even fewer who have any conception of what it means to die daily and be reborn of the Spirit. Many must inevitably fall by the wayside. But those few who understand that true greatness and true wisdom, true success, lie in the very opposite direction from that of glorifying the human self or pushing forward the personality, those who remain and persist will reach the highest degree of spiritual consciousness, spiritual awareness, and spiritual unfoldment. Now, we need to make this transition where we live by the Spirit, and the Spirit lives in, through, and as us. We need to surrender any personal sense of life and actually be the living Spirit of God. This is seeking the kingdom of heaven. And all else is added unto us. And one other thing. Back in October of 2002, this came in a meditation, and I wrote it down. And this has to do with Spirit. That thing that we have to allow to work through us. That thing that we have to lift up, it must be promoted, and we must step out of the way. He must increase, and I must decrease. Here's what I wrote. The consciousness of the presence of God is not dependent on what you know or don't know. The consciousness of the presence of God is not dependent on what you believe or don't believe. The consciousness of the presence of God is not dependent on your meditation or your prayer. The consciousness of the presence of God is not even dependent on whether you are alive or not. Lazarus was good and dead, yet the consciousness of the presence of God functioned right there. If you destroy this temple in 3 days, the consciousness of the presence of God will raise it up, because I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to pick it up again. The consciousness of the presence of God is what I am. Do you see how this is a transcendental presence? Here we have been focusing our attention on improving our human lives, and the whole time we have been instructed to die to that and to begin to have an experience of spirit living in, through, and as us. Now, when this message comes through, I really have no idea where it comes from. You see, I don't know where the wind comes from. I know when it is here because I hear the words coming through my mouth. But I have no idea where it goes. How many dozens of people out there receive this message, and then where it goes through them. Because as each one awakens to the spirit within them, it also flows through them. And so, the experience of having spirit live through us is something that must happen to all of us. And so we are instructed to seek ye first the Spirit, the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. And that's an actual living experience. And against that we have the testimony of our senses and all the experts in the human scene. All the experts that say you're so many feet tall, so many years old, you have this hereditary preconditioning, your environment was such and so, your education was this, all of that to prop up a human existence. But what if they're wrong? What if they're all wrong? What if the scientists and physicians and teachers and everyone that has taught us since we arrived here, what if they're wrong? Here's something to look at. We can bring Freud into this conversation, because he's the one that first told us about how the ego is formed, how the personality is formed, the development of the personality. You know, before we get here, we were already somebody. We were somebody before we got here. And all of a sudden, we find that our parents, our environment, our heredity are all shaping this thing called a personality, a person, a persona, a mask. Makes me think of the drama and comedy masks. That's what the personality is. Do you know it's not a real identity? Because we had an identity before we got here. We will have an identity after we leave. This is fascinating to me. Who is this personality? And when we go into it deeply, we discover there's no such identity. It has been make-believe. And so the psychiatrist, the psychologist, what they're looking at isn't there. Now, let's look at the medical profession, because in the medical world, there is so much taken as gospel truth. But what if they're wrong? I told you before, but I'm going to give you another example. I told you before about my foot and how they told me the toe needed to be amputated, and it cleared up all by itself and has been fine ever since. I'm wiggling it right now. But let me give you an even better example. A little while after I had met my wife, who, by the way, is just one of the finest examples I have ever seen of being able to look through a troubled child, a troubled teenager, and see the living Christ right within them. She does this better than anybody I have ever met. But anyway, a little while after I had met her, she had swelling in her, a little bit below her abdomen, and it turned out it was a cyst growing on her ovary. And it was the size of a tennis ball. I could put my hand on it and feel the size of a tennis ball. It was huge. Well, she went to the doctor, and the doctor said, "You're going to check in tonight. We're going to prep you for surgery, and we're getting that out of there in the morning." And he was serious. Medical doctor, a lot of degrees, a lot of years of experience. And he sent us over to talk to the anesthesiologist. And when we went over there, the anesthesiologist said, "Excuse me, do you have insurance?" And we said, "No, we don't have any insurance right now. It's just cash on the barrelhead." And he said, "Well, I'm sorry. I cannot assist in the operation." Well, we left his office kind of scratching our heads. And one thing for sure was she did not want to go through the surgery without being anesthetized. Well, we went home and I called a practitioner I know that practices these principles, and he said to me, "Now let's work on this together." And so we both went into meditation and meditated on the fact that the pictures that the senses show us are not reality, that right there God is. Right where the picture appears to be, God is. And so we stayed with that for a couple of days. And my wife said, "You know, I feel like I'm going to have a healing." And I said, "Are you sure? Do you want to try a different hospital?" "No, no, I feel like I'm going to have a healing." And I am telling you the truth that in the next 2 days, I think it was, maybe three, that cyst disappeared. Now, I watched it with my own eyes. It totally disappeared, and that was 15 years ago, and it has never returned. And so the medical experts, what they were seeing was not reality. And so they were working from the premise of unreality. And what if they're wrong? Now, how about the experts that tell us our the reason that we have the problems we have is because of our heredity. We have inherited these problems from our ancestors. Is that a fact? Well, when we look at this closely, we see how come one person can come out of a home where both parents are alcoholics and never have a bit of problem with drinking. Another person can come out of a home where there's no drinking and end up a raging alcoholic. If that disease is hereditary, why does that happen? Could it be that the people talking about heredity are looking at a law that isn't there? So, how about our scientists that tell us about the laws of the universe? What if they're wrong? We have examples of Christ taking the body of Jesus and walking it across the water. Now, you know a person can't do that. Why? There's laws. Gravity. Uh-huh. What about being in the temple and they got ready to seize him and he disappeared from their midst and reappeared outside? Well, you can't do that with a body. Let me see you make your body disappear, would be their reply. Have you ever read the teachings of the Masters of the Far East? If you have, then you know good and well, Jesus is not the only master to ever have done this. We have examples in our modern age as well, disappearing and reappearing somewhere else. So, the scientists and their laws, what if they're wrong? You know, they prove that if you travel across the ocean, you'd fall off the edge. And they prove that man could never fly. It cannot be done. And they've proved a lot of things, haven't they? But we've seen them unproved. Why, it's impossible to go to the moon. Are you mad? You must be a lunatic. So what if they're wrong? What if they're all wrong? And what if the whole idea of a human life, the whole concept of a human world is wrong? And what if Christ Jesus was right when he gave us the way out by telling us, you must be born of the Spirit? Then it behooves us to begin to practice whatever it is that will allow Spirit to live as us. Now, we said that before we came here, we already had an identity. And after we leave, we will have an identity still. And so this thing, this flesh, whoever is born of the flesh is flesh, whoever is born of the spirit is spirit. This flesh is not our true identity. Spirit is our true identity. And we must come to the place where we have an actual living experience of spirit, where spirit lives through us, and spirit talks through us, and spirit walks through us, and spirit sees through us, and spirit functions through us. This must be a real living experience. The time is here. We must make this transition. We must be born again if we would enter the kingdom of God. And it starts with knowing that. But there has to be more. How big is spirit? What do we know about spirit? Now, we're talking about our true identity, because what if Christ is right? What if Christ is really right? And what do we know about spirit? God is a spirit. And so spirit is God. And so spirit is our true identity. And so God is our true identity. Now this is in no way connected to the human personality. We've already established that that is non-existent, not a real identity. But spirit is you. Your real identity, God, is you. But this must be an experience. It can't be a theory any longer. It has to live in you. And what else do we know about spirit? Well, spirit is infinite. There's no end. There's no boundaries. It's boundless. Spirit. And so, your true identity is boundless spirit. And spirit is one. One spirit, many faces. And so spirit is individualized as you. But it is infinite individuality. And spirit is individualized as me. Infinite individuality. Spirit cannot be born. And so your true identity was never born. Never born. Spirit can never die. Your true identity can never die. Now listen to this. When you live consciously as spirit, right here and now, you will never die. The time will come when your work is finished, and you will step out of this world consciously aware while you're doing it. And should you decide to come here to teach or to help lift up those souls that do not yet know their true identity, you will form for yourself a form, and you will be consciously aware of it as you move in through and as that form. and there will never be a break in your conscious awareness again. Consciously you will walk out. Consciously you will walk in. I can lay it down and I can pick it up. I am the real life. And that I is you. But to become consciously aware of it is the goal. Do you see how this work and these principles and the goal that we're working towards has nothing to do with the human picture? And yet, if you live in spirit, we are told all these things shall be added unto you, because what else do we know about spirit? We know that spirit appears as whatever we have need of, and in a way we know not of. It's not something we can direct. It's something that directs us. How in the world could we have healed my wife's cyst? I'm not a doctor. I don't know anything about it. But I know this. Spirit moves invisibly in a way ye know not of. And I know that spirit is our sufficiency. I know that spirit is the substance of all form. And this invisible substance appears as what I have need of before I know I need it. Before they call, I, spirit, will answer. And so living in this universe, in a spirit-filled universe, none of the laws from that human life, none of the laws from that earth life apply. Here's a whole new set of laws, spiritual laws, invisible laws. And here, what they taught us was wrong. Here, what we are learning is truth. And what else do we know about spirit? Can a personality use spirit and apply spirit? I'm going to apply spirit on this problem and apply spirit on that problem. No. You know that won't work. But the personality can be still. The personality can stand still and see the salvation of spirit. The personality's intellect can keep quiet long enough to witness a quickening. What else do we know about spirit? Spirit is omnipresent. And so, your real identity is present everywhere. Now, the scientists told us that you could only be in one location at a time. But spirit, your real identity, is omnipresent. Your presence is in every leaf on every tree. Your presence is in the water flowing in the stream, in each wave of the ocean. Your presence is in every star, every planet, every galaxy. Have you not looked at the trees and looked at the mountains and felt your presence there? And felt them inside of you? I know you have. So spirit, your presence, your real identity is everywhere. And so let us practice a whole new self. Let us really be born of the Spirit. And in our meditations, let us be still and invite the Spirit, the infinite Spirit of the living God, to be where you are, to flow through you, to bless the world, to be a benediction, to pour out, to give, to share, to do. And then be still. Because Spirit functions in a way ye know not of, but it functions in the stillness. Do not be surprised if you discover for yourself that they were wrong, and that the truth is your real identity, Spirit, infinite, omnipresent, eternal, never born, never dying, functioning right now, right here, as you, becomes your new and old identity. You will become aware of it in little ways at first, things happening that you know you didn't do. And then in the bigger ways, you'll see these so-called laws that they taught us about are not really laws at all. Because remember, the consciousness of the presence of God is not dependent on anything that you do. And the consciousness of the presence of God is not dependent on any law that they taught us. The consciousness of the presence of God functions as you, as you allow it. And so get used to miracles, because you're going to see a lot more of them. And by miracles, we mean the so-called laws that they told us about dissolving, falling away. Get used to Spirit going before you and preparing a place for you. Get used to Spirit functioning as your life's work. Get used to Spirit moving through you. And you will see this now. You will see Spirit, that invisible presence, living, doing, being all that you are. Welcome home. This is, always was, and always shall be your eternal resting place, where God, Spirit, lives in you.